Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is the B segment, 965B, which means we've been going for more than 15 years, actually more than 18 years. And every week we have a guest. The guest is in the B segment, 965B is this one. It is wonderful guest, Dr. Pope, Robert A. Pope, who's a primary care physician with the Texas A&M Family Medicine Program, who is talking to us today about men's birth control and what to expect with a vasectomy. We'll get to some other subjects relating to men and women as well. Remember, this is You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen. The podcast is brought to us by PersonaNutrition.com. Persona Nutrition, where you can speak to a nutritionist whenever you want online and get the right medications and supplements for you, looking and specifically tailored to your conditions. Dr. Pope, thanks very much for joining us. How many men have had a vasectomy, if you look at it around the world? Thinking about everyone potentially, how many men have had this type of birth control?
Well, generally, at least around the world, I don't have the numbers right in front of us, but generally about 500,000 men in the United States have.
And when most guys think about a vasectomy, they say, is it going to be painful? What's going to happen to my rest of my sexual function? Will I feel an orgasm? Will it be as good as ever? Is there pain with this? And is it permanent? What happens if I get divorced? Can I have a child after I've had a vasectomy? So what are the answers to all of those? Is it painful?
Sure. We do perform the procedure under a local anesthesia, a local anesthetic for the most part. We usually will give, our technique is usually to give a little bit of a anxiety, because there's usually a little bit of an anxiety component. A lot of times we'll allow our patients to have a little bit of something to kind of take the edge off before they even arrive, to kind of help settle their nerves before getting there. As far as pain is concerned, when they've done actual studies on it, the men have reported that on a scale of about 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain anybody's ever experienced in their life, I usually liken it to going over and putting your hand in the door and slamming the door on your fingers. You know, makes a grown man roll on the floor and cry. That'd be a 10. The average pain number on a scale like that is usually about a, that's including all of the procedure itself as well as the post-operative kind of recovery time period. There is a little bit of recovery that can, but most of the time, most patients really tolerate
and
it.
And I did
well.
Not, we lost you when you said it is rated on a 1 to 10 scale. What is it?
A three. One, two,
so
three.
Where the worst pain would be a 10, what would a 3 be like? Would it be like
usually most
ahead.
Patients usually kind of might report a bit of a dull ache. Even if we kind of think about, most of us, most men can probably remember back to a time where they've had some trauma to the area and have have withstood that, and it's not even...
So you're a family practitioner, so you've been able to do this in your office, so you don't have to go necessarily to a urologist to get this done.
That is correct. Probably across the United States, the most commonly probably see most of the procedures being done by urologists, just simply because, you know, that's the area that they specialize in. But it is something that certainly a competent family physician. So if in your neighborhood and if you're in your community, your family doctor has been trained and feels and is competent, shown competence to do the procedure, it is certainly something that can be done in as an outpatient office procedure by a qualified physician. Yes, sir.
So we've learned it isn't much pain, and it can be as convenient as getting it in a family physician office. You don't have to get a specialty appointment with a urologist many times, although you'll want to find out and make sure whoever you ask to do this is experienced in it. Let's go to the next step. Do men's ejaculatory function change with this? That is, do they feel the same when they have an orgasm or have intercourse?
Yes, they do. Once they've gone through the full recovery phase and are allowed to resume sexual intercourse, which usually begins as soon as about a week after the procedure is performed, they often do not feel, or most almost every time, there are exceptions to every rule, but they generally feel everything that they felt before in their ejaculatory capabilities, how they feel with orgasm, quantity of semen that is produced. In a typical ejaculate, the sperm, that which is what we are kind of moving from this and stopping from proceeding up to join in and become mixed in with the rest of the semen, that only makes up about 5% of the total volume of what is actually produced for an ejaculation. So therefore, most of everything else is produced up within the prostate and several different glands that are actually up in the penis and in the urethra itself along that area, so that really the experience of intercourse and everything and orgasm is exactly the same as they felt before, that they do not notice it.
And now the next question we often get is it reversible? That is, if they decide, heck, I want to have, and by the way, one of the things that I've heard from people who've had this is not only that sex is actually better because they're not worried about a unwanted or unplanned pregnancy, but the next question that I get often is this reversible? What happens if I want a child, and do I have to deposit semen in a bank beforehand to make sure I could do that?
In general, there are surgical techniques to reverse this procedure. However, I think that we usually counsel our patients ahead of time that if they're on the fence, if they're really not, you know, absolutely certain that they are done having children, that they're at a point in their life where they want to have no more children at all, then this may not necessarily be the option for them. Mainly because even in the most competent and in the most expert hands, the actual success rate in reversing is not 100%. It's really more about 50-70%. So it's pretty good, but you certainly can't be guaranteed that if you've changed your mind and you want to have children again, that will happen with a reversal procedure. So you know, it's best to really be sure beforehand that this is what you want to be done, and that it be, you know, that you really want it to be permanent. Probably the most common scenario where we see patients kind of interested in reversal is if they may have a new partner, a new sexual partner for whatever reason, either through marriage or for other relationships, that that now in that relationship, it's the totally new relationship that where there is an interest in children. Certainly there are, there do exist sperm banks and that sort of thing that you can, that are available to store semen if you really feel like that, but that often is also can be kind of cost prohibitive in the long run. That's another thing to kind of to keep in mind is that the reversal surgeries, while the vasectomy itself is almost always covered by insurance, the reversal surgeries often are not, and they can be really pretty costly. And so that's something to kind of consider before making this decision without being absolutely certain.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
One of the things, and I should reiterate for people, we're speaking with Dr. Robert A. Polk, who's a primary care physician. You can reach him through TAMHSC, Texas A&M Health Science Center.edu, TAMHSC.edu. And this is podcast 965B, and as usual, we're brought to you by PersonaNutrition.com. Robert Pope is a primary care physician, clinical assistant professor in the Texas A&M College of Medicine. He is a rooted in Texas physician, having earned his MD at the University of Texas in Southwestern. And I should say, Dr. Pope, one of the questions that after we tweeted we were going to interview you, I got asked back is, does Dr. Pope have a vasectomy? You may not want to answer that. You may say that's just private. And if so, what did he experience with it, or is that how he got involved in this field?
I personally do not have a vasectomy. I don't have no problem answering that. Primarily because my family opted to go in other directions and the opportunity, but I would have happily done that, especially after having done as many as I have and having seen how easy and really relatively simple the procedure is, and in comparison to having, because I also perform the female alternative, that being the tubal ligation, I also perform that, and to see the comparative involvement, surgical involvement, to compare the recovery rate, even with a laparoscopic procedure for the woman, as well as the need for hospital and surgical center type of environment, anesthesia, everything that is required for a woman to have to undergo the same permanent sterilization procedure for them. him, it's so much simpler to be able to do this and spare the woman having to undergo all of that.
You must have then discussions between men and women on who should get a procedure if they decide they want to limit or limit the size of their family at that point. How do those discussions generally go? Do they come to you asking for advice, or they generally come to you saying, we've decided this is how we're going to go, or do they say, what's your recommendation? In other words, is it all the range, or do people usually come in having pretty good idea of what they want?
I would say probably the majority of our patients really haven't made that decision, you know, already when they come to me. They usually are wanting to know what are their options. We often see them shortly after they've delivered their last child, or even while we are providing prenatal care in the last few months of a woman's pregnancy. She's kind of to the point where she's ready to say, this is definitely our last child. The husband is in, or the partner is in agreement, and they're now trying, you know, wanting to know what are their options. So we often will talk in relation to both reversible and non-reversible permanent options for them. Some of the reversible being have longer duration of effect. Without necessarily having to kind of maintain a contact with a physician, for instance. So, in other words, something like an IUD, an intrauterine device for contraception, or an implantable form of hormonal control, like what the Nexplanon insertion. All of these, of course, are all based on the woman having to kind of make be the one to step up and receive the procedure and to receive the and to get everything done. But so for some people, kind of feel like, well, you know, the woman has done all the work up to now. We'd like to see the man be able to kind of also contribute to their kind of family planning options. So. This is certainly a way for the man to be able to kind of take some of that burden off of the woman.
And let's in the summation to this, what do you if you had to say, is this going to be more common in the future? We're worried about not producing enough children as it is. Should we? Those people who've had kids, encourage them to have more. How do you talk about that with your patients?
Well, gosh, that kind of is has a you know, leans toward questions of more kind of society in general. I would say generally for these, I usually tend to stay pretty, you know, more personal. What are their personal goals? Are they in a place where they feel that they have the number of children that they feel that their family is complete? Are they emotionally, mentally, kind of at a point where they are where any kind of future considerations of regret at such a permanent decision is may, you know, may come to cause strife or discontent. Are they in harmony with their partner in that decision? And if any of those sorts of things are there, I'm not sure that at least on a one-to-one personal basis, the impact on our, as far as our overall, population trends and that sort of thing goes, that may be country doctor and his patient sitting in a room trying to make a decision like this that may not necessarily be where we kind of spend our time.
So we have been talking to Dr. Robert Pope, P-O-P-E, who is a member of the Texas A&M faculty, TAMHSC.edu. He's been telling us all about vasectomy, the pros, the cons, and their complication rates, etc. He is from Texas, and you can get in touch with him at TAMHSC.edu, Robert A. Pope. And you, of course, have been listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is podcast number 965B. I guess that's more than 18 years of podcasts every week. This is the B segment, of course, which is the guest segment. You've been learning about his views on vasectomy and complication rates. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast. We're brought to you by PersonaNutrition.com, your choice for how you get medications and remember how to take them for your supplements and nutrition. PersonaNutrition.com has been the sponsor of You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast this week and for the next year or so. Thanks very much for listening. Randall, thanks for great engineering. And especially to our listeners, thanks very much for downloading us and listening. If you have subjects you want to talk to me about, just email me, drmikerealage@gmail.com. drmikerealage@gmail.com, and we'll try and get that guest on a future You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Thanks again.